recording.
Thank you, Sam. Love you. Have fun at main stage.
So much fun.
We're gonna have fun in here.
We're gonna do a lecture on whatever. You know, if you
actually, that's really fun. They're amazing improv people. But stay here.
When you said so much fun like that, I thought something was wrong over there.
Don't give Amber a heart attack. We love Amber and we want her to stay.
I've been barking at children for the last couple hours.
Yeah,
so.
That's been a lot of fun.
GSR security kicked them out of the fitness center.
Oh my!
They broke into the gym.
They've been messing
with us for hours, and GSR is not happy about it. Because it's not just us, it's everyone on the floor, too.
Right, I believe it.
And their parents are like, well, I haven't seen you do it.
Well, that means you're going to lose custody when I get involved, and I sit here using my 15 years of legal experience in family law and 1 year in insurance to say you're
fucked. All right, we got 45 seconds. I'm going to start on time.
Okay. All right, practice your vowels.
What? No.
Yeah, good.
What?
What?
That's a good.
Okay, you can tell I'm caffeinated because I would have never done that.
Hey, Beta.
All that much caffeine.
Hey, how about this? Beta, name that too.
What? Care Bears!
Yeah, goddammit. Yay! It's always Care Bears.
We have a winner. Point for love.
Welcome.
Alrighty.
We actually have water this year. The GSR gave us free water.
Oh, thank goodness.
Wow, we had to negotiate like crazy to get the free water. Dragon, okay, 5 seconds. What? What?
I love you.
Time! Okay, welcome to the panel. I don't care what we called it. This is a BDSM Q&A panel. I was not comfortable putting BDSM Q&A as a title in our con book because this is an all-ages con, but this is obviously an 18-plus panel. So we called it Intro to Ethical something or other. It's a BDSM Q&A panel. I am Beta. I am one of the organizers of this convention. I have been into BDSM for 25 years. I am way too old for this. I actually went and did the math, and I'm just like, 25 years, oh my God. I can't be that old. I'm that old.
I'm Tim. I'm also helping with the convention. I don't know. Do I even have an actual title for that part of it?
Chair support.
Chair support. Okay. And I had a similar sort of thought because she asked me if I could help with the panel. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And then writing up the description, there was something about seasoned practitioner or something like that. And it's like, I've been doing this like more than 20 years.
I got 25.
I'm like, well, yeah, I guess that applies at this point. Time kind of flies away.
Yeah, I am a submissive that switches. I don't like the label of switch for myself. I identify most with being a submissive, but I will switch for fun. I also switch partially as part of my submissive side. I will do things for and to people as part of making them happier.
I'm dominant and pretty straightforward on that, actually.
Yeah.
No fancy caveats.
Yeah, no, I gotta be complicated. So this is a Q&A panel. You got any questions, or should we just stare at you and be awkward?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yes.
At what point do you feel you're more submissive rather than, like, how do I put this? At what point did you realize, oh, yeah, I am definitely submissive? Was it just during regular play, or was it one where you really kind of pushed along your boundaries and then made a choice?
I knew it before I ever played. Oh, I actually want to do, I forgot to put down the ground rule. Nothing happened before you were 18. Any question you have here, any answer we ever give, you were 18 or older when it happened, okay? Okay. I forgot about that one, but we want to make sure.
Yeah.
18 and over for everything we do. I figured it out way before I ever started playing. I am very much a research-heavy type of person. Someone that I was dating had mentioned, kind of jokingly, like, oh, I could tie you up. And I was like, oh my God, no. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, you know, actually that sounds kind of fun. And from there on out, I spent a lot of time reading absolutely everything I could get my hands on Now, to be fair, that guy that I was dating was an online boyfriend, so we never actually did anything. So I had a lot of time to really explore the space in my head and really think, like, what do I actually like? Would I like that? Would I not? Before I attempted anything personally. And when I actually did start, it kind of cemented it more for me. But I had already identified myself as submissive before I actually tried anything with anyone in person.
Would you say it made it easier for you to go into the role of submissive at that point? Because you had done so much research ahead of time.
I mean, that's just me. That's how I do things. I research the hell out of everything before I do it. So, yes, but I'm not sure that's how that would work for everyone. Anything else? Any questions? Yes.
Switch.
Okay, so there are, first off, there's a million labels. It's whatever you want. The big ones are submissive, where you're more or less doing what you're told, or not if you're that kind. The dominant is the one who is telling, theoretically in control. It's a lot more complicated than that. And the switch is the one who does both sides. And you there's a lot of different reasons people switch.
Yeah, there's lots of kinds and situations for it. So it's complicated. That one is complicated.
Like, there are people that switch because they're two submissives dating, so they'll switch for each other just to both get what they want out of it, but it's not really what satisfies them. There are people that switch because they really do love doing both roles, but not all the time.
Yeah. It's also really common for it to depend on who their partner is for a switch. They'll be submissive with some people, dominant with others. And they may not be able to tell you why it's that way with any particular person, but it definitely stays that way with that partner.
Like, I'm a submissive that switches. I will not take a dominant role with someone I have submitted to. Everything feels just really weird to me. But if I haven't actually done that, then I'm a pretty pushy person. I'm pretty pushy. Yes?
As someone else who also is very research-heavy minded, where did you go to find information, like?
I'm really old, and I found everything on the internet. Back when the internet was a very, very different place. There are a lot of really great books out there right now. There's some really good subreddits. There's, I believe it's BDSM Community is one of the subreddits I used to really look at. If you want to come after the panel, I can look some of that stuff up for you. There's a lot of great books. The classic ones are still kind of out in rotation and recommended.
Yeah.
What was the Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns is one of the super popular ones. That was actually in my day the one they recommended, and they still kind of do. There's the topping book, the bottoming book. There's a lot of books out there now, and you can probably find some pretty good ones. The hard part is finding good communities that are about information and not about porn. And that can be really hard, but they're out there for sure.
People tend to just, on the internet in general, be drawn to the porn, so search results get kind of hard for the non-porn stuff.
But yeah, I think it's BDSM Community on Reddit is really good about policing their content and kicking out the people that are just trolls and doing really inappropriate things. BDSM spaces have to be very heavily moderated or you're just gonna get trash in there. I actually run a small server for niche kink things, and it's constant battle.
You end up being very quick on the ban button.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What if you're into that?
That's the shame bit.
Well, they're still breaking the community rules, and out they go.
That's the shame.
Then they make another account and get their...
Right. We're not shaming their kink.
Yeah, no shame here. No shame here. I have more questions. I have some prepared... Oh, good. I have some prepared questions if you guys actually run out, so... Public play, oh boy. So in general, You should never involve someone that is not fully consenting to what you're doing and what they're involved in. That includes walking out in public, doing something, and someone that is not involved in your dynamic, that has never consented to this, seeing you do it.
Yeah, observing something that you didn't want to is being pulled into it without your consent.
You can do things that are highly stealthy, and as long as no one ever could possibly know, that's actually really gray. Some people are like, well, you should never do it anyway because they're still involved in it. But there are people that go that far.
Yeah.
And if that's how you feel, then you never have to do it. I'm more on the side of, well, if they never know, then they were never involved.
Yeah. If you've never made them uncomfortable, never pulled them into something that they wouldn't want, then you've never done something to them that they didn't consent to. So they may have been present, but if they are in no way even aware so that they could possibly be disturbed, then...
Yeah. There are ethical ways of doing public play. I don't know what we have in the area, honestly, but I would go to Folsom Street Fair every year when we could before the pandemic, you know, killed my comfortableness with crowds. And in that space, you already know you're going to be in a space like that. So there's naked people around, there's people masturbating on the street, they're not allowed to come as part of the rules of the event, but they're just sitting out there just like, okay. So there's things you can do in some public places, like there's play spaces. I just don't know what we have in Reno, but there's definitely ethical ways of doing it if you like being watched and that sort of thing. You could also set up more of a private thing, like with friends, where they're more of a making, like, I can't think of the word, fake acting.
Oh, you're thinking of, yeah, if to have them like role play strangers kind
of
thing.
Role playing strangers with the friends, but they fully consented to doing that, and you're just kind of doing it in a private space. So there are ways of doing it that will still get you off, if that's what your thing is, without involving people that don't want to be involved and should not be involved. And next question, yes.
Rubber or leather?
Leather.
I'm not into,
I don't care that much. I just really like leather. I do a little bit of leather working, and it's I love the smell of leather. I like leather. Do you have an answer?
Not a strong opinion, but I guess leather. There's a lot more leather out there.
Yes.
For a total newcomer, where does someone find stuff like this?
What do you mean by stuff like this? Oh, like a partner, like a play partner. Why don't you, or do you want me to do that?
You have a prepared answer for that.
I do? I have a prepared answer for that?
Or I could just jump in on that.
So then. There's actually a lot of different ways you can find someone. There's a lot of different ways you can find someone to play with. The way I like to do it is I just put up a profile on one of the dating things, and I'm very honest. I just say straight up on the profile, I'm a submissive looking for a dominant. I'm into these basic things. I don't get into too many details. But I get into the basic bullet points of who I am, what I can offer, what I'm looking for, the usual dating thing. But I actually include the kinky stuff in there so that I'm fully up front. And then I have to deal with all the usual dating trash because there's a lot out there. Some other things you can do is if you're a complete newcomer is look into the local community and just kind of put yourself out there and start making actual connections, make some friends.
If you like to socialize, there's a thing called a munch, which is basically a thing where people will get together, and it's a social gathering. It's generally no sort of play or any sort of kink like overtly going on, but it's a gathering of people where that is their interest, so people can just be open about it when they're talking with each other.
And they're usually held at like a restaurant, that sort of thing. And sometimes they'll do play parties after, but that you don't have.
That'll be separate.
You never have to participate in anything you're not comfortable in. There are definitely some groups in the area doing local munches. The way that I am aware of them is joining FetLife.
I was just going to ask about that website.
FetLife is a fucking dumpster fire.
I figured as much.
It is an awful website, but they have the groups section, has all the local events. That's how you're going to find the munches in the area. Be ready to delete all the spam you get. Just ignore everything else about the site. It is awful. But it does. It is where people go to post their about their munches and gather people for it. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Cool.
At the very least, you can always just search for like BDSM type dating sites that are out there.
Oh, those are kind of iffy too.
Yeah, like any dating site, you're gonna deal with dating site crowd.
The thing about the BDSM dating sites is they're very geared towards horny people looking for horny people. And, you know, if that's your thing, that's fine. I personally like making more emotional connections. I'm, like, my dominant is my long-term boyfriend. I'm not interested in hookups. Nothing wrong with them, just not my thing. So
that can be a lot harder to find.
Yeah, long-term boyfriends are a lot harder to find.
Predatory.
There's a lot of predator, especially on the BDSM dating sites. They're just looking for a victim at that point. If you're going to be using any of the dating sites, BDSM or otherwise, you want to be very aware of the red flags, what they're looking to accomplish, because sometimes they're just out looking for someone to hurt. A lot of people, there are definitely a lot of people out there that are abusive, awful people that use BDSM as a mask, as a front, just to find someone to hurt and abuse. You always have to be ready to advocate for yourself, and you have to have friends that you can talk to and go, this is happening, is this okay? And they're gonna look at you and go, no, get out, listen to them.
Yeah, you kinda have to take all the normal rules you'd have for online dating safety and like double that.
Especially as a submissive. There's this thing called sub-frenzy, where you are just so desperate for someone to do something to you within your consent range that you are willing to overlook a lot of red flags to get what you're looking for. It is dangerous, and you have to be aware of that being a thing. But it's very common. So it does help to have someone to talk to run through some things by them and go, you know, this is happening. Is that normal? And they go, no. that can help having friends in the community as well. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, and always do it in public, and always have someone that knows where you're going to be and when you're expected to be back. Always have some contingencies going on to keep yourself safe. It's a dangerous world out there, with or without the BDSM involved. Like when we met through OkCupid, and we met at a park. We went, we walked his dog around a park for 2 hours before we decided that, okay, we like each other, we'll keep talking. And it was all, we were non-sexual, just hanging out, seeing how we clicked. Anything else? Should I? All right, we're just going to sit here and stare at you awkwardly.
Hi, babe.
Okay, you can win. I don't. Yes.
Actually, for tip.
Yes.
Since you're the dominant.
Yes.
The real question is, of course, communication is key when it comes to your sub and like safe words and things like that. Are there points in which you find yourself drawing, like even though you're into the role and everything, do you find yourself drawing back thinking you might be going over the line or wiping on there, or do you find your role to be one that you fully accept and she will tell you as the sub?
So I don't know if you heard the giggle that almost got picked up there, but very much yes, it's something to pay attention to. And it's, for me, I'm probably overcautious, but I think as the dominant partner, you need to be a little bit overcautious because your mistake can harm somebody. So you have to be careful to, you know, minimize that sort of thing. So yes, you safe words are very important, but those are like the safety net. Ideally, you don't run into them. It's not necessarily a bad thing to, depending on context. But ideally, you want to already have been paying attention and know something is going on before you get to that point.
Safe words are safe words. It's you try not to hit them, unless that's your kink. But there's a lot of those. But they're there for just in case. So you still want to be communicating up to that point and try to not actually hit the point where you actually need to pull the safety lever. Tim is very much overcautious. And there's been a lot of times, if you know, you need to go harder. Please go harder. please go harder.
Yeah, well, that could be fun, so.
Yeah.
You said to try to embarrass you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to try harder than that. Yeah.
Can you guys talk a little bit about consensual non-consent?
Ooh, consensual non-consent. That a lot of people are into that. And that is when, like rape scenes. You have already planned this in advance, usually. You have to really communicate well and have pretty good safe words in place to do some of that, because those can go south real fast. You can think that you're all for this, and all of a sudden, panic! Real panic! Oh, God! And sometimes you can even hit a point where you are in such a panic you can't safe word. So there's a lot of safety nets you need to be aware of, and you always want to start real careful on those.
Yeah, and that isn't just like the rape role play, although that's probably like
that's
the most popular fantasy
really
related with that. But really, any time, no needs to mean no, asterisk. Sometimes there's a different word that means no. So if they use that word, that's no, you're done. But sometimes in the role play, the word no is not actually going to mean no.
And the sudden panic and things can just, they can creep up on you. Suddenly,
yep.
you're doing something and you're super into it, and all of a sudden you're really not.
Yep. And it could be something you've done a dozen times before.
Yeah. There was one time, one of the early times we were playing, so this was like the second or third session, and... How comfortable are you guys with graphic stuff? All right, so I was giving a blowjob, and and he had said something about don't stop, and I hadn't. But apparently I had slowed down, and he slaps me and said, I said don't stop. And I'm just like, okay, well, I kept going, and the only thing running through my head was, but I didn't. I didn't stop. And I had to, like, wait. If I keep going, I'm going to start crying. And I had to, like, actually stop and go, I'm about to cry. We need to stop. I don't.
Total misunderstanding, too. That's not even what was supposed to be going on there. But it does. That's actually a good thing to point out. It doesn't necessarily matter if that's what you meant to do. You have to pay attention to what's actually happening.
So mistakes happen, things happen, things always happen. You just have to roll with it. And we talked, and everyone was cool afterwards. Like, I explained my part, he talked about his part, and we were both good and continued playing. I wish I could give you more stuff on consensual non-consent. It's really a fun topic, but I'm just not into it, so I've never really done it. I'm not a fan of... I don't want to use the word safe word, because that's not what I mean. I'm not a fan of code words. I feel far too silly with saying red, green, yellow, or any other random word. I take myself too seriously, and I just can't bring myself to say it in a moment like that. So I have to be able to communicate with plain English. My safe word actually is, no, I need to stop. So consensual non-consent doesn't really work for me. But it works for a lot of people, and it can be a lot of fun. Ready for the next question? Okay, I do
you
actually.
Got a list.
Yeah, I got a list. No, that's the wrong app. Okay, so one of them is, how do I know I'm doing kink right?
So some of these questions we actually sourced
from
people that know, like, what sort of questions do you wish someone had answered for you when you were new? So some of these ones, the reason they're there is because someone else asked him, and we figured, well, even if no one in the room does, someone might want to know.
You had an answer for that. Did you forget the question? Should I say it again?
No, I got it. Just the way you were looking, like, are you going somewhere?
No, okay. I'm throwing focus.
Yeah, okay, got it. So you're doing it right if you're enjoying what you're doing and they're enjoying what you're doing and everybody is, you know, safe, not being harmed by what you're doing. That's it. You don't need to overthink it. And I think the overthinking is really common when you're new to it. Like, am I doing it right? There is no, like, checklist of everything right other than, you know, nobody went to the hospital, everybody is happy, everyone thinks, yeah, I think I'll do that again, or, oh, that was a good experience, even though I guess it's not for me, you know.
And enjoying could also mean enjoying. That's very much me. I don't necessarily enjoy everything we do, but I enjoy everything we do. Yeah, as long as everyone's happy. So there's a lot of ways of doing kink, and so everyone thinks, oh, you've got to be able to hurt someone or not hurt someone or treat someone like this to get them on their knees. It's like there's so many ways of doing kink and BDSM and all of this stuff. It's whatever makes you happy, man. Just not harming anyone else. That's fine. You want to sit there and bow down to your plushies every night? It's fine with me. Just do what gets you off. Just don't harm anyone else. Don't harm yourself. Hurt, fine, not harm. That sort of thing. Any more questions before I go on to the next screen? What's the way to talk about this with a significant other who doesn't know that what I'm into? You had a great answer.
Yeah, so that one, I'm gonna give my honest answer on that, and then I'm gonna mention the part that sometimes people don't wanna mention. So you need to be honest with them about it, because even though it might actually cause a problem, because sometimes people have an issue, let's say if you're into something and that's not what they're into, often healthy relationships, people are fine with that. You know, everyone has different tastes and things, and you don't have to share every single taste with your partner. But some people aren't okay with that. And so I'm not going to say that there's never going to be any kind of negative consequence for being honest. What I am going to say, though, is that if you're not honest about it, you aren't avoiding the problem, you're prolonging it. You have a problem there, and by not communicating, you're making the problem last longer and probably get worse. So you still need to communicate it. Usually, it'll either go well or be neutral. It's gonna probably be a minority of the time that something really negative happens because you are honest with your partner. But I'm not gonna say it'll never happen.
As for a tip for how to actually communicate, I have a much easier time writing things out than sitting down with someone and saying it to them. A lot of things, when I'm having trouble, I'm like texting him. There was a point where we had an issue with the session, I don't even remember what it was, and I'm laying down and he's behind me, he's like, okay, I need you to move because I need to write this message. So he actually had to roll over in bed so I could write the message on my phone to him because I could not communicate it any other way. Whatever allows you to get things out in a way that feels safe to you, but you really should be communicating with your partner.
And the writing it out thing actually is just good advice in general, not just for that situation. If it's hard to get the words out, you can think it out, you can type it out, you can be sure this is really what you mean to say. It really works for some people.
Let's see. I love the idea, but spanking hurts. What do I do?
You're picking all the ones that I had talked about having an answer to, aren't you?
I'm picking my favorites.
So
that I like you so much.
So the but it hurts, the context there is that that's something that that person probably doesn't want, is they probably don't want it to hurt, but something about that fantasy works for them. And so the first thing to do is to think about what about that fantasy works for you, because there is probably something you can do that will give you that without including things that you don't want to do. because spanking is like such a trope. It's an easy thing to jump right into. It's one of the first things a lot of people are going to think about. But if something about that doesn't work for you, then that's not the exact thing you want to do. Start looking at other things in that ballpark and see what looks good.
And honestly, if it sounds like it's fun, but you're not into the pain part, you can do it softly.
Yeah.
You could, there's a lot of things that you can do, but you can dial it back a little bit so that you're still just getting the whatever feeling you're going for. If you're into the embarrassment, the power exchange, you can always dial other aspects down to enhance the bits that both of you enjoy the most. About that?
Yeah.
I have a question that I wanted to throw in here that I think would be fun to talk about that is not on this board.
Okay.
I have seen this question a lot in the forums, and since I haven't written it down, I'm probably going to mess it up. As a dominant, I have a self-proclaimed brat that will never listen to me and doesn't, and is driving me crazy, will never listen and is always doing things just to drive me up the wall.
So that's a tricky one.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, because people, one of the fun things is, you know, there's a million different ways of doing things, which means the words are never precise. So they're using words, but they may not mean the same thing that it sounds like they mean. And so I say that because if they're never doing what you want and you're never getting what you want out of that, which isn't quite the same thing, but if you're not getting what you want out of that dynamic, you need to talk with them because that actually is a problem. And that's not just a kink problem, that's a, I am not getting my needs met by this relationship problem. And so that means communicate. But brat doesn't just mean, ha ha, I sass you all the time. There's more to it than that. There's a back and forth with it. And if there's never the back and forth, it's just the do this, no, end of sentence, nothing after that. What are you doing?
I think an important thing to do that a lot of people miss when they talk about bratting and brats in general, bratting has to be consensual on both sides. You can't just, as a submissive, start throwing sass and start saying, no, I won't do it. Will you beat me for it? And drive your dominant up the wall and not have actually discussed this and made sure that was something they wanted. It has to be consensual. You have to communicate. If you are bratting and it wasn't consensual, you are just being an asshole. Yes.
Okay, so this might be a little bit more of a question for you.
Okay.
Submissives are often people pleasers.
Yes.
How do you find the balance between what you want but also wanting to make your dominant happy and, like, because, like, I'm happy if he's happy, but also, like, I didn't want that. So, like, where's the line?
Well, the I didn't want that part is usually part of what I have a suffering kink, so I didn't want that is actually one of the things I keep asking him to do to me. So, what?
No, no, he can't.
Okay, but you really have to think about what you actually want and communicate it. A lot of relationships in general, not just BDSM, people will make sacrifices for their partner. They'll do things they don't like or don't want for their partner, and it's no different in this situation. You still have to have boundaries. You have to figure out what's not working for you and establish boundaries with your partner. That's what limits are for. And sometimes it's really fun to play with in those, try and get up to limits if that's your thing. But you just really have to communicate well and know yourself very well. Which is impossible, but you try and understand what you like and what you don't. And if you are not someone with a suffering kink and you don't want to do the things you don't want to do, then you have to communicate that and set those boundaries. Does that answer your question?
Kind of. I asked it. So it's not even like I don't want to do it. I'm thinking of people pleasing in particular in relation to BDSM. So for example, if like that's not really my thing, but he's really into it and I'm like, but I'm not actually having fun, but he's really into it, but I'm happy because he's really into it. You know, like
doing it because it makes them happy regardless if it makes you happy.
Right.
Yeah, but you also get something out of it from them being happy.
True.
So it does getting something out of it from them being happy outweigh the discomfort of not liking it? And you have to kind of weigh that and go, you know what? I really like that you're happy and you should continue doing that, but not with me if you have a problem with that. Or, you know what? I'm not really that into this, but I love seeing you smile. So we'll do it occasionally just to make you happy. You don't have to do it all the time. It could be like once in a while. It's a little treat.
One thing to bear in mind with that I'll add from the dominant perspective on it, and can't speak for all doms, I'm not all doms, but I've talked to doms and I am a dom. So we want to know what things you actually like and dislike. It doesn't mean we'll only do the things that you like. Like, I also understand the doing something for me and there's a whole dynamic to how that works, but at the same time, part of the fun is pushing buttons. Finding out where the buttons are is always a positive.
He's always happy to hear whatever I have to say about things, where my limits are, whether I liked something, didn't like something, and he uses that information against me.
In a good way, though.
In a good way, yes. Now, I encourage this. But I give him all of the tools that is about my likes, dislikes, the buttons, the uncomfortableness. I tell him what I really loved, what I didn't like, but what I was tolerating, and he uses it all against me. And it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Isn't that the point?
Yes, it is exactly the point. Thank you. Is that roughly what you're looking for? Do you still have more question? Okay. Like, I'm happy to keep trying. Yes.
What about self-bondage and stuff? Is that like safe or should people like not do
it? There are safe ways of doing it, but you have to be really careful. You always want to make sure you have a way out. Absolutely never put something around your neck. You might, unless you have like a safety way of getting out of it, like there's a person in the room that's going to be watching you through a window, so if something goes wrong, they can rush in and do something. You got to be really careful with self-bondage, but you know, having some rope around your wrist, if you can get out, it's not that really big of a deal. You just very careful with that. Is that?
Yeah, it's something to be careful about because part of what can make it a little bit safer is the fact that you have a partner who is a little more in control of the situation and generally not in any kind of bondage. So if something goes wrong, like, oh, I'm losing circulation to my arm, they can immediately be taking it off. Self-bondage, you have to be really careful you don't get yourself in a situation where I need to get out of this fast and the only person who can get me out is the guy who's tied up. So it's definitely not a don't do that, but you do have to be more careful with that, if anything.
But there are definitely ways you like fast releases where if you just pull hard, it comes apart, that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you plan ahead for how am I going to get out of this quickly, that takes a lot of the risk down.
Yeah, that's something to think about for BDSM in general. Anytime you're planning a play session, anything you're doing, you need to be thinking about the risks in what you're doing. Everything you do has some level of risk, possibly. We like to play in the deep end. So it's really worth thinking, like even something simple like rope bondage, you have to be thinking about, okay, well, where are the pressure points? Where are the nerve endings, the nerves that could possibly be damaged by putting rope in this spot? Everything you're doing, you should be thinking about what you could permanently do that you don't want to do and play away from those.
Yeah, and so, that's one thing that, please don't try to learn how to do it from porn.
Oh, God, no.
Because that's one of the things it absolutely will steer you wrong on. You are going to be talking back and forth a lot during playtime.
Mm.
You know, hey, is this comfortable? Is this pinching? You know, and it's not always because, you know, you want to make the sensations all comfortable, but you need for the situation to be safe and controlled. You have to know what risk you're putting in and pay attention to things that you can't necessarily, as the person who's tying the ropes, know just from looking at it. Like, that the submissive partner is going to know if something's too tight sooner than you are, even if you're paying attention, because it's pinching their skin. They have firsthand knowledge of that. You might figure it out fast, but they'll know immediately. So, like, if they just tell you, that's a lot easier.
Get used to telling your dominant things if you want to have good play sessions. As I've said, I've got a suffering kink. We go pretty hard sometimes. But there's still times where it's like, that's too tight, or the Velcro on the strap is digging in, and that I don't like that feeling while I'm being caned.
Yeah. So not all ouches equal.
Yeah.
So if you're going for a particular kind, then any other kind that's intruding in probably doesn't belong there.
Does that answer your question, or is there... We got a little bit on a tangent from that one, but... Yeah, definitely if you're looking to do self-bondage, you want to be very careful about what you're doing and have an out every time. Any questions? Yes?
It's really more like on a personal side. Do you ever find that, like, engage, like, doing, like, BDSM and, like, the, like, basically building those communication, like, helps outside of, like, play sessions?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Communication practice is communication practice.
That. Being able to negotiate for yourself, advocate for yourself, just communicating in general, it's really good skills to build. And once you've established those skills, you can take them elsewhere. They're great use in workplaces. Just don't tell them where you got the skills from. You can use these skills in life. So, yeah, absolutely. A skill is a skill. Confidence, yes. It can really help build confidence in the rest of your life. Absolutely. That actually brought me up to one of the questions that I had on my practice one that I think is a really fun one. That I want to make sure I get the wording right. Sorry. I put these in too many places. Can I use BDSM for personal improvement? A lot of people like to do that. And it's not... The answer is not no, but...
Yeah, it's definitely an it depends, because yes, you can, but you really need to pay attention to the fact that yes, this might be someone you trust, but that doesn't mean that they're a professional in the thing you're trying to get help with. So one thing that I see fairly often is a submissive that wants help with something like a diet routine or stuff with their schedule and things like that. And you really have to pay attention to, am I, as a person with no medical background, trying to give advice that really should come from a medical professional? And so doing things like reminding them to follow advice from a professional, good. You know, saying, hey, did you remember to do that? And you can wrap it up into the dynamic just fine, but what should never happen is, well, I think you should eat this. Because why the fuck are you asking me?
Something that I've seen happen is people attempt to use BDSM relations. They're trying to use their dominant to get the things they want without having to put in the work. Mm. Oh, this would be so much easier if someone could just make me do it. And you know what? It is a lot funner to do the dishes when you've been ordered to do them. But you can't do that every day. And it's not fair to your dominant to make them your keeper unless you guys have really communicated that and that's what you want. Most dominants don't want to be your keeper permanently. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your goal for something is personal improvement, then people can help you with that, but you personally have to improve. Otherwise, it's not actually happening.
Yeah.
You're faking it.
You also should be ready to do these things yourself without someone reminding you constantly and making you do them. I am using Tim to help with some of my own diet things. Something that I had been doing before we had even discussed it was I was cutting my sugar down, trying to really handle not having so much sugar every day. And I had been doing this for several months before I approached him and said, I'd like to make this part of the dynamic. I'd like to make this a rule that I have to follow. And so he agreed. We talked about it, really talked about what we were going to do to make that work, because touching diet is really, really dangerous. You can really mess someone up trying to do that. But I had already been doing this, and I was setting reasonable.
Yeah, and the parameters of it was basically just stuff that honestly is unhealthy. Try to avoid doing that. And even then, it's a try to avoid. It's not the sort of thing where there's some sort of heavy consequence involved with that. Because, you know, that's a great way to trigger an eating disorder. And no, thank you. So fortunately, none of that was involved in this specific case. But, you know, I've seen people try to, in fact, specifically try to use BDSM to manage an eating disorder.
And they add punishments.
Please, no.
Yeah, it's all about punishments. And then you're punishing someone for having a second dessert. And now that, no, never do that. But our particular one is just, I have to ask if I want a second dessert. It's like, it's nothing crazy. And it's actually made it so much easier.
Yeah. And probably important to mention, based on what I was just saying there, there is no consequence of it other than the fact that it didn't happen.
And the fact that I have to tell him. That's a consequence on its own.
That's true. That's not no consequence, but there's nothing further beyond that.
So there's definitely ways you can do it, and ways you can do it safely and reasonably that doesn't put any extra effort on either part where everyone's in consent.
Yeah, it's just good to remember, you know, if there's a profession that does that, that's who you go to first.
Your dominant is not your therapist.
Yes.
Go talk to a licensed therapist that you don't date. Seriously.
Also, don't date your therapist.
Yeah, don't date your therapist.
Yep. It's kind of the same issue, just coming at it from the other way, plus adding in probable incompetence.
Oof. We have about 6 minutes left to this panel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the 10-minute thing just came in. We're expecting the 5-minute coming shortly. Any more questions as we wrap up? They can be personal questions. Anyone want to tell a story? That's my question to you guys. Does anyone have an experience they'd like to share with the room? I guess not. Or at least if they do, they don't want to share it. 5 minutes.
You can share the thing you made me do.
What did I make you do?
Origami.
Oh no, don't share that. Actually, okay. Yeah, you can share that.
So I was her roommate for a while when we started the convention and everything. A lot of our staff members are like, oh, I just wanted to volunteer. Well, I got up to get a glass of milk, and she made me work at the con. Well, the person I was dating at the time, we were one room over, and in the middle, she's like, during sex, I want you to yell, Pikachu, I choose you! And I did. And it, right in the middle, I got pushed right off, turned right over, I'm laughing my ass off, Beta goes to the front door, laughing. I think I gave you a hug, and then at that point I started calling you a bitch. But I love you.
His boyfriend hated me for so long after that. It was so funny.
And at that point I was just like,
I don't think that's relevant to the panel,
no, it's
though.
Not, but then I was just like, I did kind of submit to your request without even thinking. I was like, oh, that sounds fun.
That's just because you like to cause trouble.
Yeah, you're troublemaker.
All right,
we got a few more minutes. What do I got for... How do I figure out what I'm into is one that I see a lot in places. Do you got any?
That is actually a tricky one.
It is.
Because you're going to just keep finding out as you go is the real answer. You're not going to know everything at the beginning. You're going to be surprised. Things you might think you'd like, you may be kind of about. And sometimes you might see something new and try it out and be like, okay, that was awesome. So trying things and spend a lot of time thinking about not just what you would like to do, but what you feel like you're getting from it. And then look into other things that also include that.
I like to just try a lot of things. I mean, I do the research first, and then it's like, oh, that sounds neat. But there's no harm in just like, okay, so this sounds really cool. How can we try this? Let's try this. And we set up a plan, and we just try it lightly at first and determine, do we like this? Do we not? And then keep experimenting. I'm still trying new things. I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm always looking for something new. I can never get enough.
That's the other reason why it could be really easy to be like, oh, I still don't know so much about this. because you never will.
BDSM in particular is a huge topic, absolutely ginormous in what it covers. So there's just a ton of things you could be trying all the time. Got a couple more minutes. Anything else? Okay. Llama, ask another question.
I could tell another story, like the time I
No, no, no more stories.
They were tied to the chair.
No more stories.
Well, how about
Mittens, tell me, ask me a question.
All right, genuine question
okay.
to lead off with or finish off with would be, should someone really, if they're considering BDSM for the first time, and you know they're doing the research, doing everything, and they find, you know, they want to go and they want to talk to people, they want to get out there, you know, should they really just keep trying and encouraging themselves, especially if they're going through the apps and everything? Like, should they, if they find it becoming more work than it's worth, should they keep still, would you say they encourage them to keep going?
I'd say if you honestly are at a point that you feel like it's more work than it's worth, then it is, and take a break. Because it's something that you're doing because of how it makes you feel, and at the point that the search is making you not feel good, take a break. You can you've got your whole life. Come back to it when it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And I say that mostly because this area.
This area is really hard to find good partners in. I've won the fucking lottery. I really did. It's really hard. It's a lot of work to find a good. Yeah. Yes, you also won the lottery. I know. Yes. We both won the lottery. I get it. It's really hard to find good partners around here. It's a very small dating pool, and it's really hard to find a dominant if you're submissive, first off. There's a lot more submissives out there to find. There's this awful dominant shortage that we're all trying to get through. And it gets even smaller if you're polyamorous like I am. Because I not only am I polyamorous, I'll wrap up in a moment. Thank you. Not only am I polyamorous, but I'm married. My husband is very vanilla, and so I not only have to get past the I'm polyamorous, but I'm polyamorous with a husband, and you got to deal with that and be okay with it. So it's hard. You just gotta try and keep trying. And as soon as it's too much work for you and you're not getting anything out of it, just stop worrying about it so much. It's always when I'm like, I'm tired of doing this, and I just leave the profile up and stop checking it. That's always when I find someone, every time. How was my panel? Yay! Thank you everyone for coming. This was my first actual panel that was mine. And if anyone has any private questions or anything that you didn't want to bring to the room, I'm hanging out. I'm here.
He sent you a DM.
You sent me a DM? Why did you send me a DM?
Because I laughed my butt off.
Why would you laugh?
Oh, dear.
No, you want to look at it. While I get a running start. I'm
gonna go back. I really appreciate all the nods from you guys in the back. It made me feel very confident about what I was saying.
No, really, check the message.
In a minute. How do you think that went?
Good.
That felt
really
good
well.
To me.
Like, of course, when everyone stopped, it's like, I'm going to ask the first chance that gets the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So.
Yeah. I'm just glad I had those questions prepared.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have them in a great place. I had to do a little bit more scrolling than I was happy about, but
that's okay.
I was prepared.
It was a good panel.
Oh, you guys have the Pro Tascam recorder. It actually does stereo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the one that I actually wanted to get, but I have a mono.
I think I just need
to
hit stop.
Ghost with, yeah.
Oh, yeah.